Although writer Stuart Onan has nearly 20 works of fiction and nonfiction to his credit, his name isn't that well known beyond the community of loyal readers and independent bookstore prowlers. But book critic Maureen Carrigan predicts that Onan's literary celebrity will grow in the wake of his latest book, Last Night at the Lobster, a little book that's making a big splash. Here's her review.
Novella is one of those lightly pretentious literary terms that just oozes class, poetic language, and eternal themes. Thomas Mann's Death in Venice set the gold standard for this category, packing a story about illicit love and, yes, death, festooned with allusions to classical Greek mythology into a scant 100 or so pages. You wouldn't ordinarily think of the term novella in connection with deep fat friars and frozen tilapia, but fortunately for us readers, Stuart Onan did. His newly published novella called Last Night at the Lobster is a shimmering story about the centrality of work, even drudge work, in people's lives. It's also about the unruly alternative families that the workplace creates. As in Mann's classic, the big themes of love and loss pervade Onan's novella, although here they come garnished not with mythological allusions, but with tartar sauce. That's because Onan's story is set in a Red Lobster restaurant on the day before it's scheduled to shut down on orders from corporate headquarters. The main character of Onan's tale is Manny DeLeon, the 35-year-old manager of this doomed Red Lobster that sits in a corner of a rundown Connecticut shopping mall. Manny is a decent guy, though he's screwed up by having an affair with one of his current employees, a sexy waitress named Jackie. Manny's girlfriend, Dina, is now pregnant, and he and Jackie are history, though he still yearns for Jackie, and this being closing day, he'll never see her again after tonight. When Manny arrives to open the lobster for the final time, 4 shopping days before Christmas, a snowstorm is gathering force, and he's now down from 44 employees to a skeleton staff of about 10. That's if everybody shows up. After Christmas, 4 of those workers, survivors whom Manny selected, will go with him over to the Olive Garden in another nearby mall. Manny fortifies himself against the stress of the coming hours by smoking a joint in his parked Buick, and Onan, who writes in the tension-building present tense, neatly describes Manny as he bends to a flame, then nods back astronaut-like against the headrest and exhales. An hour or so later, after he's checked the temperature of the walk-in refrigerator, spray-cleaned the gummy shellac tables, and dumped a bucket of old cooking oil from the fryolator, Manny will realize that he's no longer stoned, that private part of the day is over. One more last thing. That's one aspect of work among many that Onan really nails here. The mutinous impulse to carve out small spaces of private time during the shift. Some of the workers arrive, the day kicks into gear, and despite the snow falling more heavily now, the usual assortment of regulars and mall rats shows up. Among them, a noisy office retirement party, an oblivious young mother with her demon child of a son, and a pair of elderly women, cottonheads, as they're dismissively called, who wave around an expired meal coupon and drive the waitress nuts. Here's how Onan describes that situation. The grandmothers insist the coupon's barely expired. The waitress hands it to Manny as if it's dipped in anthrax. The expiration date is last Saturday, close enough, except as he's standing there, he notices the ceramic holder that should be full of Sugar and Equal and Splenda and Sweet and Low packets has been picked clean. Always a danger with these cottonheads, their memories of the Depression pushing them beyond thrift into greed. It shouldn't matter to him, since anything not in a sealed box will probably get tossed, but now he feels doubly fooled. The cottonheads don't get their freebie, and so leave a penny tip. The creepy kid pukes up butterscotch ice cream sundae all over the main dining room rug, and on it goes into the snowy night. Manny, like the captain of a foundering tanker, struggles mightily to steer his restaurant into port for the final time, all the while dreading the moment when he has to say goodbye both to Jackie and to a job that's defined him for years. In restrained, beautifully detailed, and often hilarious fashion, Last Night at the Lobster evokes a sense of loss, both mundane and transcendent. When Manny locks the door on the Lobster, that clean, well-lighted place at the corner of a dark and snowy mall parking lot, you feel like something more than the shrimp scampi special has been sold out.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Last Night at the Lobster by Stuart Onan.